Don't forget to like, follow, subscribe, and turn on notifications so that you will receive alerts when there are new episodes. Go get it.
Been grinding for so long, I wake up and chase my goals. I go out and I go get it, hot or cold, that's all I know. I don't succeed, then I don't breathe. Success, what does it mean? If I conquer all my goals, then I'm living out my dream. Dig deep, go out and get it. Success Chronicles. Compete until it's finished. Success Chronicles. Go take care of your business. Success Chronicles. It's deeper than just winning. Success Chronicles.
2 years ago, you taught me something. And I'm trying to implement it slowly.
Oh.
Gradually. You know, so.
It's good.
I'm working on it.
It's good.
You don't just jump into the ocean. You got to tread water in the shallow part of the pool first.
Yeah.
Is the tape started? It's sound like content right here.
Oh, we rolling.
Oh, okay. All right. Good stuff.
No, it's good.
I didn't mean to be on
it. No. I think two, let's go with it. I think two, it made me think about, that was a combo we had here one time about drifting. I think, I remember the guy that was in here talking about how like on the beach, you have your camp set up, but you be in the water and you drift away. You don't realize that you're drifting. You don't keep your eye on where it needs to be.
So you gotta keep your eye on the spot.
Yeah.
On the land.
Yeah.
So that you realize how far you've gone.
Yeah.
And how far you've come.
Mm-hmm.
I think you taught me this was a couple of years ago. Initially, I would have to do some giveaways, you know, as far as foreign speak places for free, just to, you know, let them know. So I'm in the process of trying to set something up in Charlotte.
Yeah.
And another place closer to home. And we'll see after the new year how that pans out.
That would be great.
I gotta get it.
Oh yeah, gotta go get it. Cause from that, I think opportunities bring opportunities, you know?
Yeah.
People see that you're doing it. See the heart of service. See what it's about. Seeing that it's not just fluff, it has some substance to it because it comes from personal life experiences too.
For sure.
Right? I know Brother Avery. I know that last time we was in here, we were talking about Steve Rogers, how you guys went to school together. We were talking about the new school.
Right. When
y'all had the new school.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm going to really kind of hit on that song, just like the experience of seeing newness and seeing it. That cool things are possible. I remember you saying, like, it kind of showed you that, like, and that was the pride of, and y'all made sure y'all took care of it, you know, yeah. Those kind of things.
Yeah, that was a point in time, I think, must have been, we were class of 87, and graduating year, so it must have been 83 that we became freshmen. At the MB Smiley High School, shout out to the North.
Yeah.
And we were the first class to go into our brand new building. And all the, you know, the party seniors and classmates were like, kind of jealous.
It's sick.
Yeah. Man. And it was a real big deal, you know, for us. You know, Smiley is located in the, you know, more impoverished part of Houston, and so, you know, a lot of us, maybe we come from middle class neighborhoods, some more upper middle class, maybe some, you know, poorer neighborhoods, but something about that first day of school, us being able to walk in and to know that we were the first class to go into this brand new building that still smelled like new. You know, you know, the new car smell, a new school, the smell of fresh paint. I remember even on some of the staircases, the guardrails still had some of the plastic on it. And the custodian there pulling plastic off, you know, as we're walking in, like the first pair of J's or something. But it was the whole school. And so I think at that time, we didn't really realize how metaphorical that was for us. We just thought it was the school. But little did we know that it was a new generation of young people that were being developed in that. And so, you know, that responsibility, you know, the Bible says to whom much is given, much is required. So we understood the new school that had been given, but we didn't understand the principal was gonna be tripping about us spray painting the hallway and graffiti, you know, the stuff that we were used to doing.
Don't do that.
Y'all can't get hurt. Yeah, that'll get you hurt real quick. They were serious about protecting that school. And so in the midst of us fighting, try to do, you know, bad things, we had to acquiesce to understand, nah, man, this is something that we put a lot of money into, and y'all are gonna take care of it, either willingly or by force. And so I think some of the byproduct of that was us seeing progression. And to some of us, maybe we had never seen, you know, new like that, other than school clothes, new groceries, or, you know, stuff like that, new stuff at Christmas. But to have a new home, a new school, man, that was really impactful. And so as a result of that, many of my classmates are probably still now in Houston in our 50s. Some of the leaders, not just in our city, but there are students that have gone on to go globally, that are doing and have done great things. And so it was just powerful. And just looking back on that.
Yeah, it's crazy how when you see that that those things are possible, how it sparks your curiosity, how it sparks your interest, how it sparks your drive. I think it helps you be determined because you know that like the possibilities are possible.
Yes, sir. I like that.
You know, like it's kind of like how you said, like, we may not have seen like a new home.
Right. Right. Right.
Like this is like they put a whole lot of money into this.
Yes, sir.
Like, this is.
Yes, sir.
And you have to have pride and take care of it.
Yes, sir.
In life, it kind of helps us see that, like I said, the possibilities are possible.
Like that.
I think it helps us see that, like, when we, the newest, we're capable of new. Let's go deeper in that. I like that. As far as, like, seeing some things, I think that makes me think of stepping out and getting comfortable with being uncomfortable too.
Right. As I think about the new, you know, it's kind of an old expression now, but you know, youngsters differentiate new by, you know, there's new and then there's new.
Yeah.
You know, and that's new. For emphasis, that new. Yeah. Is differently.
For real.
And so I think as I think about that and the conversation that we kind of started this with is kind of being at the seashore and that drift. You know, and so new is kind of like you in uncharted waters.
Yeah.
And sometimes if you don't have a focus, but the funny thing about focus is it depends on what you're focused on. If I'm focused on where I left, the safety of the shore, a drift can be scary.
Come on.
A drift could be something that I'm like, oh God, I'm getting out into danger. I'm getting too far out. But if your focus is on that buoy in the middle of the depth and the distance, then that drift is goal oriented. And so now you're drifting from something, but your focus is on what you're drifting to. And so the depth of new, the fear of new. Yeah, it's all about what are you focused on?
Yeah,
like you say, go get it. Go get it means it's out there. It ain't get it. Like right here to pick it up, it means you got to leave where you are now.
Take action.
To go to get it, whatever it is, that new.
I like that.
Yeah.
That's good. I'm gonna pull a U on you. I'm gonna process it. I'm gonna go.
Oh wow. Yeah, that's a lot of them hums on there. Hey man, you drop some deep ones in here on me.
He'll think about it. He'll go.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good thought.
Yeah. I like that.
Yes,
that's
sir.
Good. That's so good.
Yes, sir.
Like just focusing in on the drift and.
No.
But I think, like, what do you think that keeps you, like, when you're in those times as far as drift either way?
Right.
Or drift from not wanting to get too far from what you're grounded on, as well as a drift to get to new things.
Yeah, as much as we are, can I stay afloat?
Yeah.
And so I think when you say some of the tools that kind of help me focus is, we're multifaceted sometimes as people, but something about when your life is hanging in the balance, you become very singularly focused.
Yeah.
And that singularity of focus may make you just think about, let me just not drown.
Yeah.
And so maybe you think about that lesson where you might have learned how to lay back and just breathe. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe just lay back and let the floaty wings hold you, that I'm not going to go under as long as I... So I think some of us, we have to learn... All of us probably, we have to learn to depend on what floaties we have. And they may be little small things. Maybe it was that little something that grandma told you that you could do it. Maybe it was just that little something that you learned maybe in Sunday school. Those little things that you didn't have enough to know if you could swim all the way across and make it, but you knew if I don't quit, you know. Quitters never, what they say, winners never quit.
Quitters never win.
Yeah, so that little floaty, I think, is what, for me, many times in my life, I would find myself to focus on, like they say, the journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step. So I have to focus on that first step, that first little floaty. And before you know it, it gets closer. You've now drifted towards the thing that you wanted.
I like that.
Yeah.
And even though you're in the water, it's baby steps.
Right, yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
You know, the baby steps add up.
A lot of baby steps.
To a mile.
Yes, sir.
A mile adds up to a journey.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. That's good.
So you have coined a phrase that is really impactful, and you're well known for it. They're synonymous. Really, when you think of Chip Baker, you think of go get it. I'm interested in the backstory of how that became a thing for you.
And that's good, Doc. I think I've always been a kind of introverted, really self-reflective, don't say a lot but see a lot kind of guy, right? And I'm grateful for that because it's allowed me to not be involved in some things that may have looked flashy that wasn't good.
Right.
And so, as a young guy, and I think that I learned that your self-talk, the positive thoughts, all of that's important.
Right.
And so I just started that, you know, as a young athlete, you know, just pushing myself to be better. I just started like as a young guy, just having like self-talk.
Wow.
Right? And that's kind of where it kind of started. And so, you know, kind of like we talked about as far as like the drifting, the drive, keeping my eye on what's important. You know, I would always set goals, and then my personal push would be that self-talk to myself.
Wow.
And so in high school it was hey, you know, you gotta get better. Like, so I was always striving to do things to push myself to get better. Right? And then I would see that, you know, tiny steps, like you said, little increments.
Right.
I would improve on things, which provided me other opportunities. Then I had an opportunity to go to college and play ball, right? So then I get to that, you know, getting outside the comfort zone, getting outside the box.
Right.
Now you got to go to another level because everybody there is all this, all that.
Right. smart this, smart that, right? So now then it became like up your game.
Right.
Like, bro, if you gonna compete, you got to up your game. Like, you gotta get better or go home, and going home ain't an option. Right. So you got to get better. So then it was like in college, it was up your game.
Okay.
And then once I, you know, finished ball, got the degree, started in my career, then I reset my goals, you know, by this age, I wanted to have my master's. By this age, I wanted to have a child, you know, like reestablishing those goals, my career goals, my life goals. And then I had painted the picture from all of the work that I had done previously to what I want to get to. So then it became go get it, right? And so, like, the self-talk was, hey, man, let's go get it. Like, in those moments of where there was tough times.
Right.
You know, where, like, you know, as a coach, you know, you don't see your kid, you put him to sleep on Wednesday, you don't see him awake till Saturday.
Wow.
Bro, you got, people don't know that. You got to go
right.
get it.
Yeah, right.
You
yeah.
got to make sacrifices to go get what you want. And so, then, from there, you know, it would slip out. Sometimes I would say it to people. Right. And then people start saying it back to me.
Right.
And so now, I mean, that's just kind of my thing, man. I just believe that in order to achieve anything of significance, like we can have success. Sometimes we look up and have some success, right? But I think that in order to achieve things that are significant, you got to be dang intentional about it.
Wow.
Right? You got to be like severely intentional about, I'm going to get it and making it happen.
Right.
Because nobody's going to distract me. I'm not going to hurt myself in the process. I'm going to make it happen because I got people depending on me.
Right.
And I think when you have that go get it mindset, it leads to go get it actions. And then you have go get it results.
Wow. Wow, that's rich with a lot of different nuances.
Yeah.
But I think the first thing that I want more on is, I think, you know, you're a coach and my father was a coach, and I've had, you know, of course, obvious coaches throughout my life.
Yeah.
And the accolades and the motivations that others give you have kind of spurred me along, as I'm sure it sounds like was your experience as well. But in all of your backstory on how the go get it thing evolved in your life, the loudest voice that I heard from you was your own.
Mm.
And I'm just like, wow, I'm really stuck in that.
Yeah.
Is you said the self-talk.
Yeah.
That conversation matters more than so many of those other conversations, no matter who said that you could have it until you give yourself permission to go and possess it, then your body doesn't get go-get-it behaviors that become go-get-it results and you know, the whole evolution that you just came to. Mm-hmm. So the power for you to be able to speak to yourself and give yourself permission to go and get it, that's what I want to know about.
Yeah, you know, I think, I was blessed to be raised by some great people.
Okay.
I was blessed to be around some great people in the community that I grew up in too,
right?
That achieved some really cool things that I could see. Like we talked about earlier, like those things are possible for me too.
Yeah.
Right? But like mom and them can teach you stuff, but bro, you got to get out there and experience that stuff on your own.
Definitely.
You got to have your own firsthand experience, and you got to go through some trials and tribulations and learn some things so that you show yourself that, nah, bro, you can do great things too.
Hmm.
And so, in that, what happens is you learn the process of self-evaluation. You learn the process of self-reflection. You learn the process of, like, you know, being able to laugh at yourself and be like, oh, man, I blew that. Man, what are you thinking?
Right.
You tripping.
Yeah, right.
You know, what are you doing? Right? But then the other side of that is, oh man, that was some good stuff you did right there.
Hmm.
Like, that was cool, and that make you proud of that. And so, you know, from that, through getting the reps, you know, in sports,
reps make you better. Like you can't like look at the bar and expect to get big muscles. Bro, you got to put some weight on that thing and move the weight.
I love it.
Right?
I love it.
Like you can't look at the book and expect to get smart. You got to open the book and read the thing and take notes and highlight and apply what you learned.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And so from that you learn so much, yes, about life, but the bigger thing is you learn so much about yourself.
Wow.
Mm.
Wow.
Right? You learn so much about yourself and you show yourself that you're capable of doing those things. Right? Then it gets to, you understand that it don't matter what nobody else think about what you're doing. What matters is what you think about what you're doing.
That's it. That's it. Wow.
And then that strengthens your mindset. And as you're strengthening your mindset, you have more experiences, and you grow, you continue to grow and do bigger things.
Yes, sir.
And then from there, man, I think as you're experiencing those bigger things, you still have some bigger, I don't know, setbacks.
Right.
Heart hurts, right?
Right.
But then, like, you realize that, man, sometimes, and this is good right here, Doc, I'm saying this because I really feel this, right?
Right.
Like, sometimes you're in situations where the only person that believes in what you're doing is you. Man.
And that's when it's real.
And when you're in that situation where you look around and don't nobody believe in what you're doing, mm-hmm, but you, bro, you got to go get it. Right? Like I ain't asking nobody else to. No, I got to go make it happen. Right?
Wow.
And so I think that, you know, a little long on the answer, but like anything, I think it's a process, right? And in that process, there's growth. It's a growth process.
Right.
And then when you get to that place in your life to where you've experienced all of those things, then now you're like, man, like what you gonna throw at me now? Like,
yeah,
come on,
yeah,
sucker.
Yeah.
I'll hit you, wow, in the mouth.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, like whatever's thrown at you, like it don't matter. I've seen through faith.
Right.
I've seen through my personal experience, I've seen through my family experiences, that there's nothing that's gonna happen to me,
right,
that's gonna stop me or slow me down from doing what I wanna do or get, wow, to in my life.
Wow.
But me.
Wow. Wow. Man. That's rich. I think the beans are rich. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, like when I said that, like I wouldn't that's not fluff. You felt that because that's real life experience. I'm speaking, right, from experience.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I'm not saying, hey, like you should, like this may happen.
Right. Like this wasn't in the manual.
This, like, yeah, yeah, like this could possibly go with what happened, right, guys, if this. No, bro.
Right.
I'm telling you.
Wrong cut.
Yeah, I'm telling you. And it ain't just been one time. It's been a bunch of times.
So you said self-taught, and in the midst of that situation where you said you looked around and realized that nobody around you believed in what you were going for but you, then I thought about that. I said, so what would happen if in that moment where you stopped talking to you but you start asking people around you what they thought about your vision, your dream? You're the only one believing this, but you start asking other people for validation, in a sense, for what's in your heart. What would that conversation be like? And if we could just sit in that for a second.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then think about how often we subconsciously do that.
Yeah.
We ask the people around us to validate something that they don't believe in from the beginning. And then we have the audacity to give what they said more credence than what we said about it.
I'm going to take it back to the base of that.
Yeah.
I think the first thing is, I think that shows, in you just asking that, that shows the importance of keeping yourself around good people.
Yeah.
Like good-hearted people with good intentions. Right? Because good-hearted people with good intentions will have your back regardless. Wow. Good-hearted people with good intentions will be open and honest with you regardless.
Hmm.
I'm gonna go good-hearted and good intention people will make sure that they look out for you even when you're not looking out for yourself.
Facts.
Right? And so I can say, man, I've been and a lot of times I didn't even realize it. Like, I've been blessed to be around some great people, man. Like, first being my family, faith-based.
Right.
You know, like, when you asked me that, I thought of a situation in college. And it was tough, right? And my mom told me two things. Like, she didn't know everything I was going through, but she knew it was tough, right? And so, you'll feel this. So the first thing she told me, like, we didn't really just go into depth, but the first thing she said is, pray about it, baby. Well, she said three things. And then she said, put your trust in God, he'll get you through it.
Right.
So I was like, okay. All right. And then the next thing she told me was, if they give you lemons, make lemonade.
Okay.
And so those are two things that stuck out to me. I put that up on my locker, my football locker, so I can see it every day.
Right, okay.
And on my mirror.
Right.
Right? And so as I was pushing myself to do that, what I didn't realize is I also had people around me that were looking out for me as well. But I also think, and this is an old school thing probably, everybody don't need to know your business.
Yeah. Right.
Like how you talked about, like worrying about what other people think.
Right.
Everybody don't need to know your business. Like, you have to be, you can't let everybody in.
Right.
And I think that's the thing. You have to, I think a couple of things too. Have great people around you. You know, depend on the people that you know that have shown you that you can depend on them. You can't let everybody in.
Right.
But then the other thing is just continue to have that self-reflection.
That's powerful.
And, oh, this is good. It's okay to be an independent thinker.
Say that.
You don't have to, depend on what everybody, because if you looked at what everybody thought,
right,
or everybody's comments, you drive yourself crazy.
Right.
You got time for that.
So you said at a part of like weightlifting and looking at the bar, you're never gonna get any more muscle, you're never gonna get stronger. Looking at the bar, you gotta put some more weight on. And so I'm a visual person, I think, like most of us probably, but as you start to add more weight to the bar, and there's a point where you clicking those plates and that sound, and all of a sudden something in you
is sound, like, baby.
Okay, that's enough.
Put it away, it's a good sound.
But what's interesting is that's enough until you lift it.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you lift it a few more reps, and then the next time you go to the gym, you know you can lift that amount, so now you do what? Add another plate.
Yeah.
Or two, or whatever that number of plates, and so we continuously in the gym, we understand that we have to add more plates in order to continue to hit the ultimate goal, which is to grow.
Yeah, and get stronger.
So if we understand on one level to add more plates, which means add more resistance, means add more difficulty, which means it's going to be harder, more strenuous to lift more, is also the exact same process to us growing more muscles. Why don't we respond that way when life puts more plates on our bar?
That's a good question. I think if we knew the answer to that question, we all be rich.
Yeah.
Right. And we'll be on TV too,
right?
I think that I think it's a direct correlation to people that have experienced those kind of things to the level of having successful people in the world.
Okay.
Right, you know, like you look at people just, I guess you were saying that, I was thinking about people that I know that are doing amazing things, and pretty much everybody that I know that's doing amazing things have had that same experience, that exact same analogy that you said.
Right.
It's the weight analogy. Like every one of them has
right. done that resonates.
Yeah, yeah, in their life, yeah. every right. one
yeah.
of them.
Yeah.
Right? But from that, it creates a mindset mm-hmm. of pushing through the resistance. Hmm. Creates a mindset of, hey, let's add some more, because I know if I add some more, I'll learn some more things and I'll get better from that. Right? And the excitement of, man, put some more on there. Just listening to, and put them cookies on
yeah,
there.
Yeah.
Man, put some more cookies on there. Let's go. Right? And when you add those cookies, man, it's a fun experience to eat.
Right.
It's a fun experience to eat, dog. Like, man, let's eat. Let's go. Because you know you're going to get better. And so I think that we can't have those limiting beliefs. We have to welcome those challenges. And I say this all the time, too. I think on the other side of our uncomfort is our maximum growth.
On the other side of our uncomfortableness is our maximum growth.
Yeah, all of that stuff you talk about with the weight, that's uncomfortable. Like I gotta put stuff on the bar and push myself and hurt, right? And it's gonna hurt, and I'm gonna sweat, and sometimes I ain't gonna like being in there. But I also know that when I do this, without a shadow of a doubt, I'll be stronger. I'll be more equipped to face more challenges. I'll be better in the process.
So in weightlifting, they call something called your max weight.
Mm.
But you don't really know your max weight. You know the most you've ever lifted.
Mm.
But when you say that, you don't even know if your max weight is truly your max weight until you add more cookies on there.
Yeah.
And so I thought about that, but even in the midst of that, there's a camaraderie. There's something that happens when you have somebody to spot you. I don't really even need you to lift this weight, but sometimes I just need a brother to
just
be here.
And
look, in case this go bad, man, keep this weight from killing me.
Let me keep it smooth.
Yeah, exactly.
Keep your hands on the
board. Somebody to just ride with you, right? And just give you, come on, man, you got this. Your weight. That was my dog said, man, it's your weight, man. Let's get it. And so just that, it didn't add no more muscle to my interior fibers, but mentally,
yeah, help me.
His confidence in me.
Yeah, man.
I had to borrow some of his confidence in me until it became my confidence. And so now my former max weight increased. And so we always file that, well, I know I can lift 225. Why? Because I've lifted 225.
And every time, like, as you were saying, like every time that I've increased my max or strengthened myself or done something that I hadn't done before.
Right.
Like there was somebody there with me, encouraging me and pushing me. So I think that's the importance of being that person too.
Wow.
I mean, like, I think we all, like, I think we all have to have that self-drive and self-motivation to push, but we also have to know that it's important to encourage others, right? So like, so like the word encourage actually means to put courage in. Come on, man. I had to look off on
woo! Drop the mic. I would drop a clippers, but I ain't dropping it.
Like the word encourage actually means to put courage in, right? So that's why it's important to encourage others to do things that they haven't done before. And I think you can attest to this, because I see you do this all the time. Like, this is what you do.
Right, yeah.
Right, like when you get to that phase in your life where you've experienced some things, you've had some life lessons, and you can share those with others to encourage them and say, hey man, like, you know, make sure you don't want to go left over here. Like, bro, I went that way before,
right.
I went left and it wasn't good.
Right,
you make sure you stay to the right.
Right.
Okay? And when you can do that and encourage others, that allows them to move more efficiently and effectively.
First thing I thought of, go ahead.
Which helps you see that your experiences, that weightlifting wasn't in vain.
Right, yeah.
Yes, for a cause.
Yes, sir. It's bigger than you.
It's bigger than you.
So I thought about
and like as soon as you said that, this thought came to mind of record holders. And so there are people that are not innately encouragers.
Yeah.
What causes you to withhold that information? I mean, the cemetery is full of unmet potential, right? And you know your days are but a few. Why wouldn't you encourage somebody else? And so the thought of a record holder is, well, I want to hold this record that I did this in this amount of time or with this amount of weight, and I want to hold on to this record for as long as I possibly can. So that kind of mindset may stop you from encouraging somebody else because, man, this dude might beat me. He might take my record down. So we have people in our corners that are really, they don't have our backs. And so, because those people really, the only reason they in your corner is to watch if you're going to break their record. And so we got to be real careful who's in our circle and make sure those in our circle have our back.
Yeah, I think that comes along with having awareness too. Like you got to have awareness of kind of what's going on. And you heard the saying, you know, once people show you who they are, believe
that.
You know, and so just some of that stuff too, you know. But then I think also at the same time, it's a fine line. You got to have balance because we aren't perfect either.
That part.
And so it's a balance of, you know, being forgiving, but also learning.
Right.
You know? And then communicating too. Like, you know, I love to think about relationships. Like in this, in order for us to grow in a relationship, we got to have a tough conversation.
Wow. Facts.
And sometimes those tough, conversations are tough. But we have to have those tough conversations because that's how we grow together, and we learn each other like that too.
Wow. It's important to have people that are strong enough to have those tough conversations.
Ooh boy.
With you.
That's a whole nother episode.
Yeah, right yeah, there. Yeah, yeah. Everybody ain't strong enough to be my spotter.
Man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And everybody ain't strong enough as a lifter to hear your spotter say, hey, come on, man, put some more on there.
Right, yeah.
You know, yeah. Nah, dog, that was easy. Like,
you did
five of them.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, let's put some more weight on there and see if you can get three, you know, like, and push you. That conversation, too.
Right. Yeah. That's what this, really, this podcast and just you, this barbershop environment that you helped us to curate. It forces us, because the minute I had this conversation with you, somewhere within the next 2 or 3 days, an opportunity to have to live some of this out is going to present itself.
For sure.
Oh,
for sure.
And now you've immortalized this moment that I'm like, oh, shoot, you can't even act like you didn't know.
Yeah,
you know, it sounded good on the tape on Saturday, but what are you going to do when the rubber meets the road on Monday?
So. Go get it.